We turn now to a Michigan-based musical group that's been getting a lot of national acclaim and sports one of the more memorable names, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. is Joshua Epstein and Daniel Zott, both from Metro Detroit, and they're about to release their sophomore album, The Speed of Things. It drops October 8th from Warner Brothers Records. And we have Joshua and Daniel in the studio with us now. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Hello. So I'm curious how you cross paths. Who found whom?
Well, we kind of knew each other.
Oh, you knew of each other from the Detroit music scene?
Mm-hmm. I had a roommate that is bless his heart, he's the best human being alive. And he was working on a documentary about Daniel's band. And so Daniel came over to pick up a copy of, an advanced copy, and my roommate wasn't there. And so I had a guitar there, and Daniel played me one of his songs, and I remember thinking, oh, man, this guy's better than me, and I was so mad about it. and then I realized that maybe it would be worth trying to make something with him. So I think I called him and then...
So you did the reach out. Joshua reached out to Dan. And were you... Sometimes people aren't interested in collaborations because they're kind of pretty happy in their own thing.
Yeah, I think it's always hard to work with someone new, especially creating art is a weird thing to do with someone that you've never done it before. You don't know their personality. You don't know how... But my initial reaction was but I obviously didn't say that on the phone, But I really was skeptical, but when he came over and the first day we wrote Simple Girl, which is on It's a Corporate World, and everything just was so easy. And you think, I thought, maybe there'd be a clash of egos because we're both front men. We both have been doing this for forever. We both think we're really great at what we do. And it was the opposite of that. It was a very, it felt like home. She won't ever let you meet her family, but she'll show you pictures. Da 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 da. She's a simple girl, she's got simple emotions. She won't ever let you in, but she wants to keep you in her corner.
So everybody's question has got to be, and you probably get asked this a million times, where'd the name come from? Who came up with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr.?
Well, we didn't actually think that this was going to be a band. It was more of an experiment, a recording project. Yeah. So,
okay.
When we first started thinking about it, we were going to call ourselves Counting Crows Part 2. And then I was telling my friend Andy about that, and he was like, you guys are idiots. You should just call it... I mean, you might as well call it Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. And I was like, yes. And then I texted him. It's just stuck. But we didn't think anyone was ever going to hear it.
And lo and behold, they have. Have you actually, I'm curious, Daniel, have you heard from Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
We have. Actually, we were very nervous. After we signed with Warner Brothers, we were kind of nervous that they were going to make us change the name because it was such a fun thing. And... But we understood they were about to print 10,000 copies of a record, and if he comes after us, then they got to throw them all out. So we really thought about it, and we're like, okay, maybe we should change the name. But in a last second, I think 5 days, maybe 4 days before we had to make this decision, Josh wrote to Dale Earnhardt Jr., and we actually got a response back, I think the day of.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That we were supposed to make this decision, and he totally... not only just said, we're not going to come after you, but talked about how he likes our music and how he showed it to some of his friends, and Jimmy Johnson's teased him about all these fun things, and was super kind and wished us the best luck on the road and be safe and
go off with his
blessing.
It
just blew our minds. Yeah. So, I think our manager cried, actually.
That's pretty cool. And everybody's relieved because you didn't have to go through the what are we going to call ourselves now. Well, it really seems that as I was reading about you and reading articles about you, critics and writers are all over the map as they try to describe your sound. I've seen minimalist, alterna pop, retro pop, beach wave. So I'm wondering, how do each of you describe the music you make?
I feel like we really like try and write for the song, you know? I think that this project is a little bit different because we've both been doing this since we were like 12 years old and like serious about it. So, for each of us, it's like our 10th record, our first record as a group was like our 10th record. So it's like, I think that like in a way we're kind of lucky that it happened a little bit later, like in our like late 20s or mid to late 20s, because we like really know how to do what we're trying to do at this point, which, you know, I think sometimes you get like bands get lucky and they like stumble on something and then, you know, they're trying to like recreate it. And, you know, I think for us, it's like we make songs. I think we're both, you know, pretty good at coming up with ideas, and then we kind of go in whatever direction the song dictates that we should go.
With no label, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we try and just be open.
I think one of the things that we discovered with, hey, we can do anything now because this is a new project, we talked about what we kind of loved, and I always loved making hip-hop beats, and I think one thing we couldn't avoid was the fact that we're two guys kind of singing folky in a way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of made the, when I hear it, I think of like hip-hop folk sort of combining, where it's very danceable and has like a vibe to it, but there's also, you can't escape the fact that we're two guys harmonizing with each other all the time.
And speaking of that, let's take a listen right now to a track off the upcoming album, The Speed of Things. This one is called I Can't Help It. If you've just joined us, we are talking with Joshua Epstein and Daniel Zott, who are known as Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. Their second album, The Speed of Things, is going to drop October 8th from Warner Brothers Records. What genres and artists actually did influence you as you were growing up? Like, what were Mom and Dad listening to?
A lot of Beatles. Beatles and Motown.
Yeah, Motown, Steve Winwood.
I had this, around the same time I got my guitar in junior high, I think a documentary on PBS came out about the Beatles. It was the whole anthology thing. Mm-hmm. And that just blew my mind. All of a sudden, I knew all four of their names, all what they played, like really dug deep, learned every single one of their songs on guitar. So that had a huge influence on me. But before that, it was a lot of, I loved Stevie Wonder. I loved the Jackson 5, anything really Motown.
My mom was always real current. Like she had... I remember driving me to school, and she was listening to like, she had like the Megadeth record, and she had like the Pantera record in her car.
Mom liked to rock.
Mom liked the rock. My dad listens to old blues, like fingerstyle blues, like Reverend Gary Davis and Taj Mahal and stuff like that.
So you really both grew up with a real interesting stew of musical influences. What does being from Detroit mean for you guys as you move onto the national stage? And what by that I mean, has the success of artists like Kid Rock and Eminem, does that give newer artists like you a boost, or is it a burden with preconceived notions that people outside of Michigan have about, oh, you're from Detroit, oh, Eminem, Kid Rock?
I think it depends. Like, for some reason, every time we're in the UK, it's like a huge amount of credibility that we somehow have because we're from here. But then, I think other times people kind of like expect that we're going to sound kind of garagey or something. But I think that like being from Detroit to me is really about like working hard all the time and, you know, not necessarily like it's not a flashy place, but like, but the quality of the musicians, the quality of the music that comes from it is up there with anything that I've ever, any town I've ever been to in the world.
Yeah, I hope we can expand what people think about when they think of Detroit, because I don't want it to be garage rock or Eminem for forever. It can't be, right? Like, that's – we have to have newer things. So if we can be a part of people saying, oh, yeah, well, they have also, like, weird hip-hop, folk, whatever they want to call it, or just good pop music, I think would be an amazing feat.
You've been quoted when talking about the upcoming album, The Speed of Things, and here was the quote that kind of struck me. We're a generation full of false starts. What's that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we're it's a real weird point in time in like the history of humanity, because we, like, Daniel and I were both born, you know, before the internet happened, but we're young enough that when the internet happened, we were fluent in it. So we're like straddling this line of you know, where technology just kind of like had a boom. And I think that because of the easy access to information and the speed at which information comes, right now it's a strange time for anyone who has an idea, because you don't necessarily know where to start. Everything's gotten so big. Like, it used to be that you could that there was a record store on your corner, and that there was, like, you know, little shops, little things. But, you know, everything's getting so top heavy, and there's like one corporation at the top who's now owns everything. And so pretty soon there's going to be five corporations in the world that own everything. And I think it that kind of makes it so that you don't necessarily know where to go or what to do or how to do anything, you know?
Like, just a sense of standing on a cloud, not on terra firma.
Yeah. Like, how do you figure out where to begin when...
And it's changing so fast that, like, the ground beneath you is never the same. The sky above you is never the same. That sort of thought.
The album is on Warner. Now, you've signed with the big label. How was that? And was there a sense of concern that having a big label watching over the process would impact what you do?
I think there's always concern, especially for artists, because they seem to be very, for whatever reason, not willing and not open to other people's ideas, which I think is a shame. But we tried to stay open, and we also, you know, read the contract. So it was a decent contract, and we fought for things that we thought we deserved, and we got a lot of them. And so that was a good starting point where they negotiated things that we wanted. And so I think starting off on that foot where they trusted us, we trusted them, I think it's been we've been pretty happy with the relationship and how it works with making music.
But I think that they're also a real good, like, it sounds like I'm like being all name droppy, but I was talking with Wayne Coyne about Warner Brothers, and he made the point that, like, as opposed to other major labels, everyone at Warner Brothers really cares about music. And that's not to say that they're going to keep their jobs or that you're going to stay at the label, you know, but I think that at least for us, we get the sense that everyone that works with us, like, really cares about the music. And they were actually the most open to letting us produce our own records of any label, even the independent labels we talked to. Warner Brothers was the one that was like, oh, yeah, go record in your basement and turn it in, and that's fine. So yeah. I think our experience has kind of been very opposite of what I imagined it would be.
And I've got to imagine what it would mean for you as artist for bigger exposure is you can't even put a handle on that, can you?
That was part of the draw, too, is we felt like I've always wanted as many people as possible to hear my art, because I feel like it has value. And I think if you believe that, then signing with someone that has the best possibility of achieving that is smart, you know.
Tell us who's doing what. As we're listening, who's playing what? You mentioned, Daniel, you do keyboards as well?
Yeah. We all kind of switch instruments. Are you saying in the recording or live? Sorry.
Yeah, as we're listening in the recording.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of do a little bit. If it's just whoever's sort of feeling it in the moment. We both play bass on the record. We both play keyboards. We both play guitar. We obviously both sing. So it's very much a mixture.
And a shout out to your percussionist.
Yeah,
Mike Higgins. A little bit
he played some
one.
Drums on the record.
But we played drums too, actually.
Yeah, we played drums too. So it's always, you know.
Yeah, I think that this
we're
is
kind of control freaks.
Yeah, the idea behind this project was to not be stuck in a band situation where everyone has like a defined role, because I think that like the beauty of it of our situation is I can play Daniel a song on guitar, and, you know, he'll just pick up a keyboard as opposed to having to feel like, oh, he's the guitar player. Mm-hmm. He's got to come up with it, you know. So I think that it's all about serving the song, and we're lucky that we, you know, we're both like jack of all trades, master of none, I guess.
Yeah.
And your I guess as you look ahead, where will you be, or where do you want to be, let's say 5 years from now?
Hmm. That's, it'd be awesome. That's the question I get from my father-in-law.
Fathers-in-law are interested in, like.
It would be amazing if we were, you know, here again promoting a new record that we were really excited about. As long as I'm making something that I'm excited about, I feel pretty happy.
Yeah, likewise.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. is Joshua Epstein and Daniel Zott, and their second album, The Speed of Things, will be released on October 8th on Warner Brothers Records. Thanks so much for coming in to talk with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Support.